Okay, I'm the last speaker. I'm Chris Marble. I'm from University of Florida. I'm going to talk about some of the work that my PhD student did when she was working for me, and it was looking at strategic fertilizer placement and container production to reduce weed growth. So this is just a good overview of a nursery. This picture was actually taken out in the Pacific Northwest, but in Florida and other places, the nursery setup is basically very similar, where you have high crop diversity and a lot of different plants growing into very tight areas in close proximity to each other. A lot of large nurseries, they might have 500 different ornamental species or varieties that they're actually producing. And then herbicide tolerances are different for each one of those. So it's very difficult to come up with a weed management program. It's difficult or impossible to come up with a weed management program that a nursery grower is going to be able to apply to all of those different plants. And we just simply don't have time to test all of these. And especially in Florida, we have a lot of issues where we have a lot of tropical plants, ornamental grasses, things like that, where they're not on any herbicide labels. And we don't know what is safe for those folks. So we need some non-chemical options for those types of crops. So fertilizer placement could possibly be a solution. It's not really a new practice. People have looked at things like dibbling and stuff like that in the past. Right now in nursery production in containers, fertilizer is typically incorporated or top dressed. There on your far left is an example of top dress, where basically the fertilizer is just placed on the top, or the fertilizer is mixed thoroughly in with the soil incorporation. And here on your far right is an example of subdress. These things could be incorporated into production systems, just depending upon the different automation systems that growers might have, and if they're using potting machines and different things like that. Down in South Florida, people are subdressing. Now people have started to do that basically to prevent fertilizer loss from pot blowover. And then on the next slide, I'll show you an example. I'll go back to that one. Well, you'll see some examples of top dress and the different placements and how they actually look in the pot after this slide. But the objective of our work was to look at the influence of fertilizer placement on the growth and reproduction of three common weed species in Florida. Spotted spurge, which is probably the most common broadleaf weed in container production really across the United States. Large crabgrass, and then also Eclipta, which is mostly a problem in more southern nurseries. And it's a big issue in Florida, and it's one that we can't control very well with pre-emergent herbicides that we have for use in nursery production. We used 1 gallon nursery pots, and we had a standard pine bark sand potting media that we used. Each pot was fertilized exactly the same with 36.5 grams of a slow release or control release Osmocote. That same rate was applied to all pots regardless of the placement, and that represented about a high rate based upon that label. All the pots were limed at the same rate, 5 pounds per cubic yard, and that resulted in a pH of about 5.5. And then the fertilizer and the media was weighed and mixed individually for each pot to ensure that we had the same amount of fertilizer in each container. This gives you a good example of what those actually look like, these little cartoons at the bottom. The incorporation, the top dress is the first two that you see, and that's what's most commonly done in the industry. Probably incorporation is probably the most commonly done. Dibble is where we put all the fertilizer directly underneath the root ball of that plant. People used to do that years ago, but it's kind of fallen out of favor because there are some crop phytotoxicity issues with that, because you do have a large portion of those plant roots, those liner roots, in direct contact with that fertilizer. And then subdress was what we really looked at. There wasn't much information on the impact of subdressing on weed growth. So the methods, each pot got 25 seeds of each weed species. We looked at weed counts at 3 and 8 weeks after seeding. We looked at basically the reproduction of the different weeds, inflorescence of flower counts, shoot, root, dry weights, seed counts, and then the weights at 9 weeks after seeding. We repeated the study twice, completely randomized design. And then we also had a no fertilizer treatment just to look to see how the weeds grew in the complete absence of fertilizer, and that was included for comparison. We looked at the relationship between shoot weight and seed production, and everything was analyzed in JUMP and statistical software passages. And each species was analyzed separately, each weed species. So this is the result of the weed species, and then this is the total seed production. We had a close relationship with spurge and crabgrass, especially with Eclipta. Not so much, but if you looked at flower production for Eclipta, it was right in line with the spurge and crabgrass. Just some of those flowers hadn't gone to seed at the time that we took that data for Eclipta. So here's a good example of the Eclipta pots at 8 weeks after treatment, and you can definitely see the highest weed growth was in the top dressing and incorporation treatments, which are the grower standards. Dibble was similar to the no fertilizer control in this picture, where you can barely see any weeds there. There are some cotyledon stage weeds that are there. And then subdress, we did have a few plants that reached maturity and flowered there, and you can see that in the subdress pot. And basically the same thing for all of these different species. So this is crabgrass at 8 weeks, and then spurge at 8 weeks as well. Here's an example of the counts that we got at 3 weeks after seeding. No differences in the counts in the different treatments. So germination was not affected with these three species based upon the fertilizer placement. But what we started to see some differences were when we did the counts at 8 weeks, because basically when we either dibbled or we subdressed the fertilizer, we contained we included no fertilizer. Those weeds were not able to reach maturity, and they basically stayed in about a 2 to 4 leaf stage, and were very chlorotic throughout the trial. You can see that for all three of those species, where we had the least counts in the subdress, dibble, and then no fertilizer treatment. And then here's the shoot dry weights at 9 weeks. Again, the same thing, basically with the subdress treatment, similar to having no fertilizer in the pot whatsoever with all three of those species. So results, biomass was similar in the subdress, dibble, and the non-fertilized pots for all three weed species. We had the greatest biomass and seed reduction or greatest biomass and seed production in the standard placements of incorporation and top dress. Subdressing is definitely an effective method of controlling weeds in containers. We looked at the effects of these different placements on herbicide efficacy. We're seeing that it has basically a minimal impact on most of the herbicides. And then we're also looking at the impact of these different placements on ornamental crop growth, and seeing no differences in about ourselves about 5 different species, and then looking what other people have done about 35 species or so. So the benefits of the subdress treatment, there's an example of a plant that was grown with the subdress where you have just that single layer of fertilizer. We're seeing similar crop growth. It eliminates those negative effects of dibbling, where we did see phytotoxicity in a lot of crops, especially with the slower or the faster release fertilizers. Blowover is not a concern, so if that pot blows over, you're not losing a lot of your fertilizer when you go to stand that pot back up. And blowover is a big problem in Florida and a lot of other places where you have real frequent thunderstorms and high wind events. And there has been some research, not done by us, but by others, that you have reduced nitrogen leaching as well. The downside to this method is that it can be difficult to incorporate depending upon the grower's operations. And then also for longer term crops, things that you have in production for more than 12 months or so, you're probably typically going to have a top dress treatment later on in that production cycle anyways. So that's where herbicides and stuff could come in. We're looking at different depths and how to really refine that, looking at ornamental responses to a lot of these methods and doing a lot of on-farm trials in Florida and elsewhere this year. I'd like to thank Florida Department of Ag, Horticulture Research Institute, Florida Nursery Growers Association, and everybody who helped out with this project. Maybe for questions, I can have time for maybe one question, then we need to get out of here because the next group's coming on at 9:45. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. All right, well, thank you very much. Thank you all for coming to the weed management session. I appreciate it.